Today, let us pray and celebrate the special prayers of evening prayer for all the faithful departed as we reflect on our communion of love in the communion of saints. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised. Psalm 113. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise, may the name of the Lord be blessed, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, praised be the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised. High above all nations is the Lord, above the heavens his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, who has risen on high to his throne, yet stoops from the heights to look down upon heaven and earth? From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised. From the dust he lifts up the lowly, from his misery he raises the poor, to set him in the company of princes. Yes, with the princes of the people. To the childless wife he gives a home and gladdens her heart with children. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Word of God, surrendering the brightness of your glory, you became man so that we might be raised from the dust to share your very being. May there be innumerable children of the church to offer homage to your name from the rising of the sun to its setting. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, or ever will be, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised. I shall take into my hand the saving chalice and invoke the name of the Lord. Psalm 116, Thanksgiving in the Temple. I trusted even when I said, I am sorely afflicted, and when I said in my alarm, no man can be trusted. I shall take into my hand the saving chalice and invoke the name of the Lord. How can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? The cup of salvation I will raise, I will call on the Lord's name. I shall take into my hand the saving chalice and invoke the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will fulfill before all his people. O precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful. I shall take into my hand the saving chalice and invoke the name of the Lord. Your servant, Lord, your servant am I. You have loosened my bonds, a thanksgiving sacrifice I make. I will call on the Lord's name. I shall take into my hand the saving chalice and invoke the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will fulfill before all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, precious in your sight is the death of the saints, but precious above all is the love with which Christ suffered to redeem us. In this life we fill up in our flesh what is still lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Accept this as our sacrifice of praise, and we shall even now taste the joy of the new Jerusalem. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I shall take into my hand the saving chalice and invoke the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus humbled himself, and God exalted him forever. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He was known to be of human estate, and it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death, death on a cross. Because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name, so that at Jesus' name every knee must bend, in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus humbled himself, and God exalted him forever. A reading from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 35 through 57, the resurrection of the dead and the coming of the Lord. Perhaps someone will say, how are the dead to be raised up? What kind of body will they have? A nonsensical question. The seed you sow does not germinate unless it dies. When you sow, you do not sow the full-blown plant, but a kernel of wheat or some other grain. God gives body to it as he pleases, to each seed its own fruition. Not all bodily nature is the same. Men have one kind of body, animals another. Birds are of their kind, fish are of theirs. There are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. The splendor of the heavenly bodies is one thing, that of the earthly another. The sun has a splendor of its own, so has the moon, and the stars have theirs. Even among the stars, one differs from another in brightness. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown in the earth is subject to decay. What rises is incorruptible. What is sown is ignoble. What rises is glorious. Weakness is sown, strength rises up, a natural body is put down, and a spiritual body comes up. If there is a natural body, be sure that there is also a spiritual body. Scripture has it that Adam, the first man, became a living soul. The last Adam has become a life-giving spirit. Take note, the spiritual was not first. First came the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of earth, formed from dust. The second is from heaven. Earthly men are like the man of earth. Heavenly men are like the man of heaven. Just as we resemble the man from earth, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. This is what I mean, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No more can corruption inherit incorruption. Now I am going to tell you a mystery. Not all of us shall fall asleep, but all of us are to be changed. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, this mortal body with immortality. When the corruptible frame takes on incorruptibility and the mortal immortality, then will the saying of Scripture be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and sin gets its power from the law. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Responsory Prayer. I know that my Redeemer lives, and on the last day I shall rise again. In my body I shall look upon God, my Savior. I myself shall see him. My own eyes will look upon him. In my own body I shall look upon God, my Savior. Now, in place of a homily for evening prayer, let us look at one of the great readings from the Office of the Dead. So this is from a sermon by St. Anastasius of Antioch, Bishop. Christ will change our lowly body. To this end, Christ died and rose to life, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But God is not God of the dead, but of the living. That is why the dead, now under the domain of one who has risen to life, are no longer dead, but alive. Because life has dominion over them. And just as Christ, having been raised from the dead, will never die again, so they too will live and never fear death again. When they have thus been raised from the dead and freed from decay, they shall never again see death, for they will share in Christ's resurrection, just as he himself shared in their death. This is why Christ descended into the underworld with its imperishable prison bars, to shatter the doors of bronze and break the bars of iron, and from decay to raise our life to himself by giving us freedom in place of servitude. But if this plan does not yet appear to be perfectly realized, for men still die and bodies still decay in death, this should not occasion any loss of faith. For in receiving the first fruits, we have already received the pledge of all the blessings we have mentioned. With them, we have reached the heights of heaven, and we have taken our place beside him who has raised us up with himself. As Paul says, in Christ God has raised us up with him and has made us sit with him in the heavenly places. And the fulfillment will be ours on the day predetermined by the Father, when we shall put off our childish ways and come to perfect manhood. For this is the decree of the Father of the ages. The gift once given is to be secure and no more to be rejected by a childish return, a return to childish attitudes. There is no need to recall that the Lord rose from the dead with a spiritual body, since Paul, in speaking of our bodies, bears witness that they are sown as animal bodies and raised as spiritual bodies. That is, they are transformed in accordance with the glorious transfiguration of Christ, who goes before us as our leader. The apostle, affirming something he already clearly knew, also said that this would happen to all mankind through Christ, who will change our lowly body to make it like his glorious body. If this transformation is a change into a spiritual body, and one furthermore like the glorious body of Christ, then Christ rose with a spiritual body, a body that was sown in dishonor, but the very body that was transformed, but that very body that was transformed in glory. Having brought this body to the Father as the first fruits of our nature, he will also bring the whole body to fulfillment. For he promised this when he said, I, when I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Responsory prayer. All who are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who have done good deeds will go forth to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil will go forth to the resurrection of judgment. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet blast, the dead shall rise. Those who have done good deeds will go forth to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil deeds will go forth to the resurrection of judgment. So I got two responsories for the price of one. And instead of reading the short reading for evening prayer, we used second reading from the tradition of the church as a homily. And we also read Paul's remarkable description of the spiritual or soulish body. So yesterday we spoke about how purgatory is not something that shows some kind of deficiency on the part of Christ, but rather it's simply that people do not automatically have the ability upon getting there, although there's a lot that is fixed for them, to automatically jettison all the things that conform them to the first Adam. And without doing that, freely, they aren't able to fully worship and enjoy God's love and God's presence in heaven. Now let's continue with evening prayer with the glorious Canticle of Mary from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. The antiphon is, you have one teacher, and he is in heaven, Christ your Lord. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You have one teacher, and he is in heaven, Christ your Lord. Now let us turn to our Father, through Christ the High Priest, with our intercessions. Christ had compassion on the hungry and performed a miracle of love for them. Mindful of this, let us pray. Show us your love, Lord. Lord, we recognize that all the favors we have received today come through your generosity. Do not let them return to you empty, but let them bear fruit. Show us your love, Lord. Light and salvation of all nations, protect the missionaries you have sent into the world. Enkindle in them the fire of your Spirit. Show us your love, Lord. Grant that man may shape the world in keeping with human dignity and respond generously to the needs of our time. Show us your love, Lord. Healer of body and spirit, comfort the sick and be present to the dying. In your mercy, visit and refresh us. Show us your love, Lord. May the faithful departed be numbered among the saints whose names are in the book of life. Show us your love, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. God of power and mercy, only with your help can we offer you fitting service and praise. May we live the faith we profess and trust your promise of eternal life. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. And that's the end of the office proper. I'll just stick around a few minutes to tell you a few things. First off, I really was a little perturbed that I couldn't make a divine office celebration for the All Souls Day, but that was because I actually did, and a technical glitch destroyed that recording. So that's part of God's providence too. A couple things to remember. I wish I had Father Francis Marsden's work in front of me, because he is a great theologian and 40 years a priest. He's an amazing priest and preacher, but no one has done a better job, I think, explaining, especially to Protestants, about purgatory and about prayers for the dead, as Francis Marsden. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about this doctrine of purgatory, but I think that it's clear from yesterday that we don't think that there's something lacking in the sufferings and the death and resurrection of Christ. Rather, it's not that there's some debt that Christ paid most of and then you still have to pay 1 or 2% of it, but rather it's that everything comes through Christ. It's also not something to be conceived of as a punishment, to think of the process of purification that is purgatory. Purgatorium, I believe, is the Latin term meaning purification, so literally purification, not a final destination, but purification. I think that for sure, when we talk about prayers for the dead and plenary indulgences, especially, many people immediately think of the Reformation and the protests against it. But a lot has gone on in the 400 years since those abuses were done, with selling of indulgences and magical types of superstitious practices. But anyway, let's think about the sacrifice that Christ loved us with on the cross. It's not the lacking, there's nothing lacking in that. And yet Paul himself says that he's filling up what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ. And he's not saying that there's something lacking in the sufferings of Christ in some absolute cosmic sense, but rather that something can be very lacking in our participation and our practical lives being conformed to what the suffering, death, resurrection of Christ actually means. So it's us that's not conformed to his paschal mystery. And ultimately think about, for example, my grandfather, who was wonderful with his grandchildren, but there may have been issues, and perhaps issues with his marriage, being a gambling addict for many years. So what happens? What can we do? Well, God has already forgiven that person's sins because he confessed and practiced the rosary and did practice the relationship with God during his life. But the sacrifice that we make is a participation. Think about if you do something in honor of your grandfather. Now think about giving up something that you really want and have a legitimate right to, or doing something, an act of service that makes you feel uncomfortable, simply out of love for your grandfather, and making now offer that not as a merely human act, but unite that with the great offering of Christ the High Priest. Offer it through him. And now we see what purgatory and the prayers and indulgences for the dead really are at their heart. They're a way of sacrificing in union with the sacrifice of Christ for the people that we love, because the Holy Spirit keeps us together. Even though we are not together in the flesh, the Holy Spirit is not indifferent to keeping people updated who are in heaven or purgatory as to what's going on here. So it's important to remember to pray for the dead. My dad, who generously hosts this Divine Office online chapel, would want me to remind you to go pray the Flame of Love Rosary during the month of November, because there is a promise, according to the private revelation to the Flame of Love visionary, that you can release 10 souls from purgatory for each Flame of Love Hail Mary that you devoutly recite during this month of November. Also, you can pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for them. So Catholics have all these handy-dandy ways of praying for the dead, but that's the essence of what really makes this powerful. The love that we have for the dead, when we put that into practice in obedience to Christ by doing things on behalf of them in union with Christ, that love is transmitted by the Holy Spirit, and it actually can help my grandfather. It can actually help someone like my grandfather to get over his baggage, because that's the power of the love united to Christ. It can actually further paying off the debt that he owes to God's justice, to use that metaphor from Scripture and from the saints. But we're not talking, sometimes people think that just means, well, God is just arbitrarily holding something over until you do a certain number of works or something. But really, it's about the whole human person. And our love, our sacrifice, in union with Christ, helps them. So that's it for tonight. Dana signing off. Hope you have a great night.